5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the room into the woods from where Granny loves a fatty of cement shoes before she goes to bed every night in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, they're ready to traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do. All my friends that come around, flat to flat to party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Hey, what's gigging? It's Pharrell with Mafia tonight. I can't wait for this Raptor-Bucks game to end. A, because it sucks so bad. B, because the Lakers and Nets are next from Lipstick City at Staples. It's going to be a war, LeBron against Harden and Kyrie. It doesn't get any thicker than that. I don't even care about the other game, the Heat and Kings in Sacktown. All I know is the Raptors have kicked the Bucks' ass tonight in Milwaukee. And Powell, 26. 8 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 6 from downtown. Siakam, 25, 6 and 5, 2 of 4 from downtown, 50% from the floor for Siakam, 9 of 18. Van Vliet, 17, 5 and 7, including 3 threes. And they've dominated, shooting 50% from the floor, 34.5% from downtown. The Freak has 23 and 12, the double-double. But it doesn't matter because the Bucks can't hit the broadside of a barn. 38% from the floor, 28% from downtown. So it's been all Raptors. On a bright note, I took the Raptors spread. I got them. Remember that line went up to 7? I got them at 6.5. I thought they would give the Bucks problems tonight. I didn't think they'd go in there and kick their ass. But we'll see what happens. Two other games, as I mentioned, Heat Kings at the Golden One in Sacktown. And, of course, Lakers and Nets, the featured attraction. They cannot get through this game. It has taken forever. And on top of that, I mean, this game started at 7:30. They're already 2.5 hours deep. And here's another newsflash for you. There's still 4.5 minutes left in the game. They're down 15. They're getting whacked. And it is just, as usual, the refs can't make their mind up on calls. Taking forever just to get through this game. This game's so over, it's not even funny. but they're just dragging it out. Oh, my God. Are they going to pick up the Laker game late? Is that what they'll do, Mafia? Are they just going to blow us off and force us to watch this crap?
Oh, yeah. They won't leave until it's done.
But it's so terrible. It's a 15-point blowout. This game's over. They should just go to the other game. That's what people want to see. They want to see the Lakers and Nets, the national audience. That's what they want. This game has been all Toronto all night. They've dominated. The Bucks have no chance. Welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA. So it's Pharrell with Mafia on the bench. Anyway, later Jim Ozarski will join us from Milwaukee, where he now covers the Bucks for a living. And before that, he covered the Bengals in Cincinnati. So I guess he went from the Queen City to Brewtown, and he's got a new gig. We'll talk to him about that and about how bad the Bucks have looked lately. What is it now, 5 in a row? I can't even keep track of it. I really can't. I mean, am I crazy? Let's look at it. I got to at least see it. So yeah, and remember, Tuesday they got whacked by the Raptors as well. They'll lose 2 in a row to them. They lost to the Thunder 114-109, lost to the Jazz 129-115, and lost to the Suns 125-124. The last game they won was on the 8th when they beat the Nuggets in Denver 125-112. And before that, on the weekend of Saturday the 6th, they beat the Cavs 124-99, and they had beaten them before that on Friday night, so they had won 3 in a row. Now they're going to lose 5 in a row. I can't figure this team out to save my ass. I'll tell you another thing. I think that they actually are going through the motions. I just don't think they care at all about these regular season games. I really don't. They know that they're good enough, no matter what, to make the playoffs. They know they're getting in. And if you remember the last couple of seasons, they were like one of the best teams in the league, record-wise, and then they lose in the playoffs. Maybe now they realize that these regular season games are meaningless. All they need to do is get in and then play their best basketball, if that's even possible, that you can flick a switch and just play good whenever you want. They seem to blow it every year in the playoffs. We'll see if all these regular season losses affect them at all in the postseason. Will they be rested and ready to go? We'll find out. I just want this second game to start. That's all I know.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So I can't figure out just how bad this is. Like, what's happening here in this game? Do you realize, I swear to God, when I got on the air, there was 2:41 left in this game, right? Did I not say that at the beginning? Did I not say there's 2:40 left in the game and it just won't end? I swear to God, I was on for 9 minutes, and then we had a three-minute break. 12 minutes have gone by, and it's 2:35 left on the clock. They played 5 seconds. They played 5 seconds in 12 minutes. What the Pharrell is going on in this stupid basketball game that these stupid F, this ref, this Scott Foster, every time I turn around, I see this hack-ass ref. They keep saying he's the best ref in the league. He is the worst ref I've ever seen in my life. How is it that this game just played 9 minutes went by, 12 minutes, and they played 5 seconds? Timeouts, fouls, Jesus, it never ends. They're down 15. Stop calling fouls. Oh, my God. And Budenholzer, do you actually believe you're going to win this game, you stupid idiot? I mean, he keeps calling timeouts. The game's over. They're getting their ass beat all night. Let it end. Stop the bleeding. Oh, my God. This is, like, unbelievable to me. I'm not even making this up. I came on the air, 2:41 left, and 6 seconds went off the clock in 12 minutes. I mean, that's insanity. I don't even know what's going on. They had a meeting at, like, midcourt where, you know, Nurse was talking to the refs. The refs were talking. The players were all talking with one another. I was like, what's next? Are they going to bring out tea and crumpets? God almighty, just end it already. There should be a mercy whistle. Just cancel the game when it's 15 and there's 2 minutes left. They're not catching them 15 down with 2 minutes left. Just stop already. God almighty. I would have already turned the channel and watched something else. But I can't do it, Mafia. I'm too interested in the Nets and Lakers. That's all I care about today. That's why I'm so angry. The Heat are up 5-0 on the Kings out of the gates. Anyway, I just see this story. Syracuse, Jim Boeheim on Duke freshman, Jalen Johnson opting out. It said Johnson hurt Duke. So he said about Johnson opting out, they actually are better now without him. So I don't even see what that means. What does that mean? If they're better without him, then how did he hurt him, Mafia? If he left and they're better, how does that hurt him?
Probably about the whole attitude and the drama that was going on behind the scenes. You know, when you talk to Goody and he's saying that this guy's sitting out hurt and then all of a sudden he's jumping around at his brother's games. Like, you know, of course, I guess Boeheim, all these old-time guys, like they all want everyone buying into the program and doing everything right by the program. So I'm sure he felt like this kid was holding them back by being a cancer to the team, and now that he's gone, they're better, more chemistry. But okay, it's not a team, so why is he commenting on that anyway?
He said that guy was hurting them, so they actually are much better now without him. So he was hurting them. And it wasn't the headline that I read. He was just doing some things and keeping other people from playing that are good. They've had two monster wins since he's opted out. Too bad they've only played once since he opted out. They beat Wake last night without him. And that's not a monster win at all. You got that right. Johnson came to Duke as a 5-star prospect and the number 13 overall player in the 20 recruiting class. He dealt with a foot injury earlier in the season. And then you got the pandemic. And he's a highly regarded draft prospect who hasn't exactly been playing for a legitimate championship contender in Duke. Our boy Jeff Goodman of Stadium reported there was off-court issues between Jalen Johnson, his camp, and Duke dating back to early on in the season. And that must have been him talking on our show, right, Moff? That's exactly what he said on our show. He was on, Goody was on Coast to Coast on Wednesday, I believe, yesterday, saying the exact same things. 107-92 Toronto now with a minute 19 left. They're going to bring in dinner and strippers now for the final minute 19. The game should be over by tomorrow at around 5 p.m. I mean, it is unbelievable. This is a three-hour game. This is a three-hour NBA game in the middle of February. What could be worse? Honestly. How about another blizzard?
I don't want to swear, but what the bleep are you doing, dude?
I have no idea what's happening there. There's all kinds of chaos going on. It's a lot like this game. So, you know, the way I look at the kid leaving Duke is, and I've said this on the shows, but he quit. That's it. He wasn't playing, so he took his ball and went home. Let's stop trying to get fancy here that he's getting ready for the NBA draft, which is nowhere near anytime soon. And also, let me tell you, you know, he's a top draft prospect with what? That showing at Duke where he never played? Or that showing at Duke when he did nothing? Or that showing at Duke when he quit the team? I mean, the fact that he's opting out now to get ready for the draft, or, you know, the other excuse, he's opting out because of the COVID. All of that is a bunch of crap. It's lies one after the next. Duke won't admit it. They know he quit. He quit on his teammates. He quit on Duke. He quit on Krzyzewski. He's going pro. Who wants him? Like, it sounds to me like he's, like, I don't know the kid from Adam, but it sounds to me like a little chunk of immaturity going on there. It really does. I mean, do you believe for 1 minute that he quit that team, Mafia, to get ready for the NBA draft? If he was getting ready for the NBA draft, what he'd be doing right now is playing his ass off, and, you know, everyone in the NBA would be watching him and seeing what kind of game he's got late in the ACC season, trying to somehow win big games and get into the tournament, sneak in, because they don't deserve to be in. But instead, he quit and went home. I mean, the bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, he's just a quitter. I mean, how can you, like, shake it out any other way? Like, what other player, tell me anyone else that's doing what he's doing. They're just quit playing and they're, you know, concentrating on the draft. Tell me who it is. I want to know who it is besides no one. He didn't quit, or he didn't, like, opt out to get ready for the draft, which is what they're selling you, his people, if you will, or even Duke, or, you know, the SID or whatever else. He quit because he wasn't playing, because he didn't matter. He went there as one of the highest recruited players, five-star blue chip player, and he went and he bombed at Duke. That's it. And nothing ever goes wrong at Duke, right? In Duke basketball, nothing ever happens negative. It's always just coming up roses for Duke, everything. Down to playing the NCAA tournament first rounds in Greensboro every year for the last 30 years. And I'll tell you another thing. I get sick and tired of it. I was around it my whole life listening to my dad went to Duke. Shut up. I just was so sick and tired of it. And I won't deny Krzyzewski's great. And I also don't deny he learned everything from Bob Knight. And he admits that too. So just so we're clear. But I don't feel sorry for them ever when they suck or they lose, which is never, right? So when they're having a bad season, it's just gravy for me. And I'll tell you what, I don't believe any of it about the kid. First of all, he was so meaningless at Duke, I didn't even, like, know about him. Like, I didn't know he was, like, some hotshot player that, because usually if you're a badass like Zion Williamson at Duke, we all knew about him, didn't we? No one ever talked about Jalen Johnson ever, did they? No one. I mean, that's just a fact. It's that simple. The Lakers are underway with the Nets. All right, so seven apiece, Nets and Lakers at Staples out of the gates. It was 5-0 Lakers, but Harden hit a three, and then they got a bucket from Kyrie in the paint to make it, you know, tie it up, and now it's seven apiece, whatever. And, you know, it's weird. Every time, and I'm just going to say it, every time they give the ball to Bruce Brown, bad things happen. I mean, just he's bad luck. I can't express enough how much I think he looks out of place in this offense and in this rotation. Seriously. And they play him nonstop. He's just constantly out there. He gets massive burn. I think he sucks. I can't take watching him play. I really can't. He misses layups, ducks, bunnies. He misses everything. The guy's wide open. He misses shots. Or how about when he gets the ball with 1 second left before the shot clock expires? That's a great guy to give it to, the guy that can't hit a shot. I got no problem with it's a real simple formula. It's Harden, Kyrie, Harris, Green, and, you know, Durant doesn't play. He's out. I'm surprised Kyrie's even playing tonight because he misses so many games. But when you got Harden, Kyrie, Green, and Harris out there, and then, you know, TLC a little bit, Luau Cabarrot, and then, you know, I'd say of anyone else on there, you know, Tyler Johnson, they've been giving him some burn lately because they've had all these guys like Kyrie and Durant out. But for the most part, I just can't. I can't let Bruce Brown shoot the ball ever. I can't let him touch the ball. I need him to play defense and, you know, set screens, get out of the way. When you get the ball, give it up. Give it to the scorers. Give it to the guys that produce. Harden with another three. That's who should be shooting. That's who should be doing all the shooting. They're star players that can shoot, not that hack-ass Brown who can't hit the broadside of a barn. It's that simple. I watch him. I'm just like, what is happening here with this guy? He should be playing in my rec league. I mean, honestly. I mean, they are lighting it up now. The Lakers up 16-10. Kuzma hit a bomb three in the corner. You know, you would think on paper, right, going into this game, you know, visually, that it was going to be an incredible game. And it's amazing. Brown just hit a layup and one and got fouled. It's a miracle from God. Because I've already seen him miss a layup wide open in this game with nobody around him. So the fact that he put a layup in and got fouled and made it, I almost fell over in my seat. I almost tipped over and smacked my head off the floor. I'm not even kidding. So anyway, I think going into it on paper, it looked, you know, delicious. There's no denying or getting around the fact that this is an exciting game tonight. And I'll tell you what, I think without a doubt that the Lakers know exactly the parameters of who they're playing tonight. They know full on. I know they're acting like, I know that Montrezl Harrell the other day said, we're not circling it, the game. And that's a lie too, because don't tell me that the Lakers aren't aware of Harden, Kyrie and Durant and the Nets shooting up the power ranking, shooting up the conference standings. They're going to pass Philly. At the end of the day, they'll be the top team in the East. At the end of the day, they'll have the best record. At the end of the day, they're better than the Sixers. At the end of the day, they're going to end up being better than the Celtics, better than the Bucks. And, I mean, yeah. You talk about other teams, like, you know, I said this today on Coast to Coast. The Pacers, they have no chance. I'm sorry, Indianapolis. You know it's true. They're not that good. I mean, you can barely beat the T-Wolves in overtime, seriously, like, to be bragging about. I don't deny I like Sabonis and Brogdon. I'm okay with them, and that's about it. I draw the line there. McDermott, the rest of those guys are hacks. You know it. I know it. But the Lakers know that the Nets, A, have the hype. I mean, everyone's saying the Nets are going to play the Lakers in the finals. I don't believe any of it until I see it. I got to be honest with you. I don't get all caught up in, oh, the Lakers are automatic. No one can beat them. They're untouchable. They're unbeatable. They have no problems. They're, you know, they play under palm trees and sunny skies, and they got, you know, royalty and Jeannie Buss, and everything's just coming up roses for the Lakers. I've heard all that I can take. Don't tell me that everyone doesn't think they're in the finals already. I mean, just they don't even have to play the games that they're going to be in the NBA finals. But all I know is that if AD, which he'll be back after the All-Star break, he'll be fine. And then let's say he comes back and this thing aggravates again, because he was out a few games and then came back too soon and aggravated his calf. And before that, it was an Achilles. So it's affecting his, you know, leg and his Achilles, his calf. It's affecting everything and lower body. And so all those muscles are connected. Remember that. They you know, everything goes all the way down to your heels, and your Achilles rides up through your calf, into your hamstrings, into your hips. Everything's just crazy how it works. How do I know that? Well, because I've broken every bone in my body, and I've had surgery on everything in my body, and I've gone to, you know, therapy and PT and chiropractors and everything else. Mafia, he knows. Like, I've had everything snapped. I've had everything broken. I've had everything surgically repaired. You name it. And I just know that every time I go, you know, the chiropractor or the, you know, therapy, they always tell me the same thing. All of these muscles, Scott, affect one another. You know, it all starts in your shoulder and runs right down into your heels. Goes all the way down through your quads, your hamstrings, and your knees, back to the calf, down into the Achilles. And that plantar fascia, same thing there. It all stems from, you know, it just, they constantly are telling you about all this this stuff. Look, if anything happens to AD, if that thing comes back, if he can't play, if he's playing at 70%, people say, well, he's better than anyone even at 70%. No, he's not. No, he's not. I think he's better than most players when he's 90 to 100%. When he's 70%, he's not effective like he is when he's healthy and 7 foot and dealing inside and outside and going to the 10 and pulling up step backs, baseline step backs, wing step backs, threes from the wing. The guy does everything. When you're injured, you're playing at 70%, 65, 60%. Don't tell me you're the same player because you just aren't. You're not. I mean, when I play all banged up and I got injuries and I had double plantar fascia, bone spurs, everything, Mafia will tell you I ran like a duck. He's seen me play injured. He's seen me play in big games injured. I can't even run. I'm like waddling up the court. You're just not the same.
I'm too old for that stuff.
See, that was in a timeout when they told me to sit down. Take a break, Pharrell. You're all banged up. And I'm like, I'm too old to listen to you. I'm playing the whole
damn game. It. I'm too old to care about what other people think of me. Did that sound cool?
I shoot from everywhere and make it. So I just know I don't believe. Do you believe, Mafia, that he's at 70% as good as guys that they're going to face? Like, Joker will deal on him if he's not healthy. Joker will deal on him. In fact, if he's not healthy, how's he going to stop any of these 7-footers? Nurkic, Joker, Ayton. You know, you talk about all these guys that are in the West. There's all kinds of bigs that if they're healthy and he's not, you can't tell me he's going to deal on him.
Right, especially depending on what the injury is, too. You're like, you say, oh, 70%. Well, yeah, 70% with like maybe a stiff back or you know, a sore arm or something like that, and maybe a little sore wrist. Like, okay, you know, it's jammed finger, but 70% when it's your Achilles and your, you know, leg muscles, when you're a 7-footer who has to jump in the air and do all these things in basketball, no, you're not getting by on 70% with that. Especially, you know, you saw it. He came by off the Achilles. He said that's about the best he felt in weeks when he played that game. And what happens? He can't even make it through the whole game before something else because, you know, he's not doing it normally. He's not running the way he used to. That's he's not right. Running naturally. He's, you know, compensating for it, and something else gets tweaked.
Do you think guys like, let's say hypothetically, this were the NBA Finals, and he was at 70%, and Jeff Green, who plays big for his size, right? He's like 6'9". He plays big for the Nets for a guy that isn't 7 foot, right? Like, I just saw him go in on Gasol and stick it right down his throat and dunk in his face. Do you think that he could deal on Davis if Davis were 70% and Green was 100%?
Yeah, because Green's not a guy who plays like, oh, I'm going to back you down, go slow, and make my move, you know, calculated. He's a guy who's going to use his athleticism to try to get around a guy bigger than Davis. So if Davis is hobbled by his legs, yeah, he's going to get around him.
And he can shoot threes, too, like nobody's business. And I'll tell you what, I don't want any of that to happen. I don't want anything to happen to AD, and I'm not trying to wish injuries and bocce anybody. But I think LeBron, same thing. Trust me, he's more valuable than Davis. If anything happens to LeBron James, you know, injury-wise, down the stretch or before the playoffs or in the playoffs, I'm telling you, I'm not buying them. The only way I'm buying them in the finals is if they're completely healthy.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us.
I mean, this podcast.
possible.
Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So tonight, my top play was Ohio State Mafia over Penn State. And on Coast to Coast, I was like, they should be able to go in there and handle that 5.5 and beat their ass. Now, I mean, they didn't kill them. They beat them by 10. But, in Happy Valley, Penn State seems to find a way to get into these games and get a couple upsets here and there. I thought Madison tonight would have been a good upset site for the Badgers, but Iowa kicked their ass. I did not feel that way about Penn State. I had Ohio State. I laid the 5.5, and I hit that game. They won by 10. That team means business. I really like them. I think they're, Michigan and Ohio State, believe it or not, you know, usually we're talking about them in football, even though Ohio State kicks their ass in football every time they play. But, you know, it's usually Michigan that has had the basketball program on top of the football program. In fact, Michigan basketball has had way more success in the last, in my opinion, the last 15 years than, and maybe 20 years, than the football program. I mean, let's face facts. Steve Fisher, you know, the whole deal, Beeline, you know what I mean? They've had some great teams. So it's fun to see, for me, that Ohio State has turned their basketball program into, like Thad Mata days. They got like serious talent now. They're big, strong, fast. They can play both ends. They play tough D. They got a good transition game, a good three game, a good power inside game in the blocks. But big win for them tonight in Happy Valley. I did love the Blazers tweet after Dame Time got snubbed as a starter. Doncic was voted the all-star starter over Lillard, and they just showed I don't know if you saw it, Mavi. Did you see the Blazers tweet of his face? They showed him just blinking his eyes and looking into the camera and just completely saying nothing. He's just blinking and nodding. He's blinking and nodding. It is amazing to me. It truly is. And I said this today on Coast to Coast. It is truly amazing to me how much this guy gets ignored. And I said it's because he plays in Portland. But the reality is he's in the mix, if you ask me. You know, we saw the odds, 26-1 for him to win the MVP, because it's like they wouldn't even consider this guy to win an MVP. It's like he's not even in the league. They treat him like he doesn't even play. I think the media, now I know he's got, you know, commercials with Hulu. I know he's got ESPN funny commercials and everything else. And I know my friend Linda Cohn does a commercial with him about Dame Time. But think about it. Other than that, really, what does he do? He gets no love at all for anything.
No, never.
Meanwhile, Mavi, you know he's clutch as hell. I mean, this guy is an absolute killer, and he's a dagger maker. The guy will just break your heart. He'll win the game. He takes the last shot and makes it like 9 out of 10 dentists prefer. The guy is absolute money, cold-blooded money. This guy is blood money. He's a blood suit. Blood money.
He is incredible. I mean, we've seen him step up in the playoffs time after time with huge threes. I don't know why people ever doubt him. I mean, the team around him constantly seems like everyone gets hurt. This is multiple years now. We've had Nurkic go down after they traded for him, and he had the great start for them in his career, and then he keeps coming back and playing great, but then getting hurt. I mean, there's been a bunch of times where McCollum's gotten hurt, and he's had to carry the load. This guy has just been there constantly. He's consistent. He's, you know, a great player overall, because we can see the bomb threes, and like we see from Curry and these other guys, but you know, we don't remember the passes that he makes, and he makes so many of them. He gets the assist numbers. He's a great all around point guard, and he does not get enough love stuck up there.
Do you think that when I said that today, that I'm crazy? That I think not only should Dame be in the conversation for MVP, but so should Harden. I think what Harden's done with the Nets and changing, literally changing his game completely from being the pure scorer, point guard, iso ball, ball hog, non-passing, 95% of the time ball in his hands player that just goes off every night and carried the Rockets. He had other guys hitting threes, Gordon, Tucker, whatever, over the years. But the reality is, I mean, he would throw lob dunks to Capella, and then when they went small ball, it was really all him. But when he came to the Nets, in my view, he changed his game entirely. He became the true point, but his game was about, I mean, he's had multiple 16, 15 assist games. He's had multiple triple doubles. The guy goes off, it seems like, every night. The other night in Phoenix, he won the game for him, like, literally. I know the bench did a great job getting him back in the game, but when it really mattered in the last 5 minutes, he took over the game literally by himself and won the game with that 30-foot dagger from dead, you know, to right, straight out center field. All I know is he's an absolute freaking pimp, and what the numbers he puts up and the productivity with rebounds and dimes. This guy is passing. Like, I never saw that guy, Mafia, pass like that in Houston. I know that he can pass. It's easy to get, in my opinion, 7 to 10 dimes when you have the ball 95% of the time in your hands. He's the handle. He's the guy with the rock always. And when you always have the ball and you run the ball up and you have it in your hands and the entire offense goes from your hands to the bucket, don't tell me it's hard to have 7 to 10 dimes. It really isn't hard when you make every play. You either score or you lob dunk or you, you know, twirl, no look, bounce pass to a guy cutting for the finish or the dunk or the baseline, whatever. His productivity with dimes in Houston to me was just because that's all people ever did was say he was a ball hog and an iso ball and a hero ball. So he would drop 10 dimes just to shut people up.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously all about him there. I think the big thing that we're seeing from him this year is I think you're seeing him play more unselfish because he was a jerk to start the season. Let's not sugarcoat and act like this guy, you know, he just came in here and everything was great. Like, he was a tool to begin the season the way he forced himself out of the Houston. So I think that's going to hurt him if you get into the MVP race. So when they have to vote for this, people are not going to want to give it to him because of how he started this season. But how he's gone since he got to Brooklyn, he's definitely deserving of the mix because, you know, he got there and people were trashing him. They're trashing him. They're saying he's fat. They're saying he's lazy. Saying he's selfish. And then you get to a team and they're talking about Durant and Kyrie. And, well, these three guys can't play together. They're all ISO. They're selfish. They all want to shoot the ball. They don't want to give it to anybody else. So I think he's out there to prove people wrong right now and doing an incredible job of it. You know, with this team, whether Kyrie and Durant have been there or one has been there or neither have been there, he has done his best to play good team ball. You know, probably better than we've ever seen him do. I know he's had his triple-double seasons. I know he's had, like you said, tons of assists. I think he's being more unselfish this year than we've ever seen before, trying to prove everybody that he's not the jerk he was at the beginning of the season. But I think for him, the MVP issue for him is going to be they have those other guys on that team. You know, I know that they're not playing enough. I mean, Durant's ahead of him in the MVP odds right now, and he shouldn't be because the guy hasn't played half the season. But I think Dame's got a much better chance of that between those two because he has very few guys on his team right now. Everyone's hurt. And the guys that are stepping up and playing good aren't big names. You know, Melo's way past his prime. These other guys are guys that are young and, you know, haven't really done anything. So I think him having them all the way at the fourth seed of the Western Conference is way more impressive than what Harden is doing with Durant and Kyrie.
Yeah, so do you have a problem with at all with the All-Star starters?
Yes.
What do you have a problem with?
Kawhi. Kawhi should not be there. He is an incredible player. He's already missed 7 games of 30. He's almost missed a third of their games. He should not be a starter. And yes, Luka's having a great season too, but his team sucks. You want to tell me that either of those guys deserve to be in there over Lillard? I'll call you crazy.
I like that. And then is there other starters that you don't like or anything in the East you have a problem with?
I mean, for the most part, it is what it is. I don't have a problem with most of them. They're all pretty good. Obviously, with guys like LeBron and Giannis, you can't – I mean, you can make that same kind of argument with Embiid that I was talking about with Kawhi because he keeps getting hurt. He's been incredible, but he can't stay healthy. So the problem is, you know, when you have people vote on this stuff, it's fan voting, you're going to get the most popular players and guys in big cities, and that's what costs Dame as opposed to Kawhi who's in L.A. or – you know, Dallas with Doncic, there's a lot more people that are rooting for that team than they're rooting for the Portland Trailblazers. And we see them a lot more on national TV.
So Beal got an all-star start for the first time ever. What do you think of that? You think because he's led the league in scoring, I think he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his team sucks, but it's not his fault. He's been incredible for them, and he's stuck it through with that team. You know, all these years where Wall was hurt and they were terrible, and now he got stuck there by himself. You know, they brought in Westbrook, and it's just not working really well at all for them. And he's got this lineup of trash around him. So he's done a great job. And you know what? For the most part, unlike Harden, when he's been stuck in the situation, he's kept his mouth shut and played. And you got to respect the guy for doing that.
Yeah, it's crazy. By the way, the Nets are leading 37-28 over the Lakers, and they're, you know, just starting the second, and it's, you know, 10 left in the half, and the Nets are handling their business. Harris is hitting threes. I mean, this is crazy. I love seeing it. You know, this game's going to be fantastic down the stretch. I just want to look right now out of the gates and see. Harden's got 8-2-4. Kyrie's got 5-2-2. Brown has 7. He's 3-5 from the floor and 3 rebounds. Look, I don't deny the guy hustles. I don't deny the guy plays defense. I don't deny that he gets in the mix with, you know, loose change and whatever. But my problem is, it's like I said, if you got all these star players that can shoot, and really, they do have shooters. I mean, Shamet even has picked up his game shooting. That's what they got him for, to shoot. And lately, he's been hitting lots of threes. And then Tyler Johnson has been playing way above his pay grade. And then when you have Harden, Irving, Durant, and Harris, and even Green, Green's a guy that can shoot threes and shoot from anywhere else, for that matter. He can go low or outside. And that's why I'm saying, like, he's the last guy, Brown, that I want shooting the ball. I know they talk about, oh, you got to distribute to everybody. Everybody on this team has to get their piece. And I'm like, yeah, no, they don't. No, they don't. I mean, let's just keep this simple. The main pieces that should be shooting. And look, I don't have a problem with them lob dunking to Deion Jordan. DeAndre Jordan. I think that he does a really good job just finishing flush lob dunks, and around the rim, they go to him a lot with that little flick lob, and he finishes. And that's really, you know, and his job is to rebound, lob dunk, and that's it. And give him, you know, burn and a presence in the middle, a shot alterer. He's not a great shot blocker. He's not fast or anything else. But, boy, can he read the pick-and-roll lob dunk. And Harden with just a beautiful floater with the left hand. The guy just went off with just the sweetest move. And I thought he got fouled, too. 40-28, no sleep till Brooklyn, 9 left in the second. But I want to keep it simple with this team. You got a bunch of guys that can score, a bunch of guys that can shoot threes, and a bunch of guys that can finish. Those are the guys I want to have the pill. It's that simple. All these other guys, you don't matter unless everybody's injured and you're forced to play. So Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. 42-30, Brooklyn up on the Lakers. One thing I noticed about the game, and I'm, you know, obviously I'm not objective because I like them, and I like watching the Nets. I like the team. I like the Knicks too. You know, it's simple. I've lived here for over 20 years, and I've been going to games. I've been watching their games, both of them nonstop for, you know, over 20 years. So I like them both. I'm not one of these, like, I don't do the Yankee-Met thing and all that. I could never Giants-Jets. I don't get into any of the teams. No teams here do I like except them. And I like, because I like basketball so much, right? So I will admit that I'm biased about it, but I'm not biased, or I'm as objective as possible when I say this, and I mean this. entirely. And Mafia, you're my witness. You tell me if I'm wrong. Literally, in my opinion, and I think the Lakers are a really good team. Don't get me wrong. I respect them. I respect LeBron, AD. I respect that team. I think they're really good. Everything about them, they're good. Fair enough. But I have never seen anyone cry more than this team. They are not guilty of anything ever. I mean, that you watch their games, every single whistle. If they have a call against them, they literally cry about every whistle. Every call is wrong. Every whistle is crazy. You must be nuts. They look at the ref like the guy just stole a baby. I mean, it is unbelievable. Every time they get called for something, they argue. Every time they cry. It's just absolutely, it's annoying. Like, they're never guilty of anything. Christ, they call fouls both ways the whole night, these crappy refs. But the Lakers are never guilty of anything ever. Take a look. Watch the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.